I would love for you and I to think more about being thankful and being grateful and letting God transform you in a person of gratitude, a person of thanksgiving, and maybe give you even just one practical thing for you to practice and to take with you and hopefully make it a lifelong habit. I got an email from one of my nephews, and he's 29 years old, and he's worrying about how things are going in Europe. He's not a believer, and yet he's deeply concerned about everything that goes on. He's not very hopeful for his own generation. He's worried about the time that he's living in. He's worried about the direction of things. He doesn't see much good happening. I was riding next to a young woman, probably similar in age, from India on an airplane from Amsterdam back, coming back from Tanzania to San Francisco. And she was wondering, in all her success in her career, her and her husband, living on the upper end of the scale of people in India, and yet thinking maybe my grandparents had it better. Because of all the sense of loss of community and being isolated and having a religion that she knows a lot about, but it doesn't hold a lot of personal value. It certainly doesn't spread a lot of peace in her mind and soul. And maybe that describes you. Maybe you're here today and you're worried about our times. You worry about the state of things and where things are going. Maybe you have some semblance of religion that maybe you've inherited from your parents, but it doesn't spread a whole lot of peacefulness into your heart. Maybe you're wishing for something that maybe another generation had, and that seems to elude you. I see a lot of worry in church and out of church. And maybe you're not worried about the greater things because there's a lot of worry to be found just at home, isn't there? How many of you are parents of little kids and parents of older kids and maybe even old kids that are old? Who knows? And that they can worry you all the days of your life. And you're worried about them and how they're growing up and the world that they're growing up in and it's maybe the decisions they're making or the decision they should be making but they're not making. Some of us, we have kids in prison. Some of us, we have kids rehabbing. Maybe you're single and you're faced with all the challenges of being single and all the worries of being single. And the fear, the loneliness and the fears of loneliness that arise with all of that. We live in a strange world. And what worries me is this, that God's people are falling prey to a negativity, to seeing things darker than we should see them. To be in conversations, but join in the hopelessness that is found in so many conversations, like of my nephew, like of the lady from India. Paul is writing in Colossians chapter 1, and he says the following: "We always pray for you." By the way, he's writing from prison. Now, we don't. This might have been the kind of imprisonment he had the first time around at the book end of the book of Acts, where he was more like under house arrest, or maybe he was. Didn't just have an ankle bracelet. Maybe he was in a much more dark cell, locked up, you know, with a little pot and a little bed maybe somewhere. Who knows? But out of that prison cell, this is what he writes: "We always pray for you." And if you'd be imprisoned, you probably would want people to pray for you. But look what he writes next: "And we give thanks to God." Isn't that interesting? He says, "We're praying for you," and the very next thing out of his pen, and if he could have been out of his mouth as well, he says, "And we give thanks." And you and I, we might be there and we'd have a whole long pity letter that we're penning right there. But he's not penning a pity letter. That's interesting. That has to grasp you and me. Because he's not huddling. You know, sometimes when life is really hard, isn't it? We kind of circle the wagons and we try to shore everything up and take care of what's your own, and the rest of the world can kind of go to hell as long as you get it all stapled under your feet. And Paul's there and it's so unstable, and yet he writes, "We pray for you and we give God thanks. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all God's people, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news." And he's commending these Colossian believers that he's writing to, and he says, "Man, I love thinking about you, and I give God thanks for you because the way your faith works, and you've latched onto this hope in Jesus. And even, you know, and the world was getting crazy, even in Roman times. You know, you can really march yourself through history and crazy times just keep circling, don't they? And there Paul writes, "And we give thanks for you." What kind of person are you? Are you the kind of person others give thanks for? I guarantee you this, God would want us to grow there. God would want to mature you and I to a place where you and I are people others can give thanks for. You know, you can be a person others complain about. You can be a person others prayed that you would move. I've had neighbors like that, have you? You know, the guy who was shooting a shotgun, raining down shot on my kids as they were growing up, I prayed that he would move. But are you the kind of person that God, that others give thanks for because you, that the hope of Jesus is in you and it's working its way out, and it permeates your speech, it invades your pen, it invades your lifestyle. This is what God is shooting for in you and I. In Ephesians, the sister letter to Colossians, by the way, and they're written to they're written to share these letters. So to the Ephesians, he wrote this: "Look carefully then how you walk." We read this last week. "Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." You can also maybe read, "The days are messed up." And if you're not careful, that's all we keep repeating. We start singing that chorus, that refrain of, "It's all messed up. It's all messed up." And then we'll keep singing about the politicians next. That's verse 2. And right? And then you get to verse 3, and then you start singing about the taxes. And it just keeps, it's all messed up. "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God is." He says, don't be foolish. It matters a lot what you're singing. It matters a lot what you're saying. It matters a lot what you're writing. "And do not get drunk with wine," because sometimes that's a temptation. You just want to get away from it all. You want to find an escape. Find an escape out of these evil days. Find an escape out of the life that's not going the way you want it to go. "For that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." He says, you got to have a different thing controlling you. You got to have God controlling you, addressing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody to the Lord with your heart. Give thanks always and for everything. And you have to pause there because, really? Really? There are some things that are really, really hard to give thanks for. And I think sometimes we get into such hurtful places and circumstances, scenarios, that only in hindsight you can look back and find yourself there. But there he writes that there's something about when the Spirit of God controls you, you look at everything different. Listen, if we keep sounding like the culture around us, if we keep sounding like whether it's a liberal, politically liberal or politically conservative radio and television pundits, we're not sounding anything like the Holy Spirit would want us to sound like. Mark it down. But this is what I see more and more happening to people, even among the body of Christ. We start sounding more and more like either CNN or Fox or who knows what, and we keep sounding more and more like it. And we're not meant to sound like it. We're meant to sound like a man and woman whom the Spirit of God has a hold of and who know how to give God thanks in everything, regardless how difficult the days are. In 1 Thessalonians, in a lot of little, where he gives a lot of little quick instructions there in the end of about the Christian life, he says this, read it with me. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now we are, so in Ephesians he just told us, you need, the Spirit of God would want us to get to where we give, are able to give thanks for everything. And here it says, and you need to learn to pray, and in that prayer, learn to give thanks regardless of the circumstances. Some of you are here today and your circumstances are lousy. There are stretches in life and the circumstances are just lousy. And you just rejoice for those stretches where circumstances are great. But it's a constant back and forth often, isn't it? Circumstances change all the time. And he says you need to pray and then give thanks in all circumstances. He says always rejoice, always pray, always do what? Give thanks. No matter, don't let your thanker be oriented by the circumstances. But how often does our thanker grow inactive when the circumstances are difficult? And he says, this is God's will for you, to be a people who know how to rejoice, how to pray, and how to give thanks. And I think they go together. That trio goes together. Here's what I'd like to encourage you to do. And we're going to dig into it a little further in just a moment. I would like for you and I to embark on where we pray, and we never pray without giving thanks. How often do we pray, and we haven't even given thanks at all? We whip our little list out, our prayer list, the things that we have. We whip it out and we give it to God. God, would you do this? God, would you do that? God, I need you for this. And God, would you provide for that? Amen. And we're done. And I think we will not grow to be thankful people. I have a new suggestion for you. It's really not a new suggestion, but would you make a commitment, even right now, if you are a praying person, that you will start your prayers giving thanks. Start now. Make it a lifelong habit. Maybe here and you say, Hans, I'm not really a praying man or a praying woman or a praying young person. Can I encourage you? You just read it. God would love for you to become a praying man, a praying woman. Would you start praying and come to God every day, but always give thanks? Before you get to the list, before you get to the needs, before you get to the troubles, start thinking about things that you can give God thanks for. It will change how you pray. It will do it. And so that's what I encourage you to do. If you don't take anything else away from the sermon today, take this with you. Let God transform your prayers, and when your prayers get transformed, you'll get transformed. We need more of thanksgiving. Here's what Paul writes in Philippians, where he talks a lot about rejoicing in that book. But in verse 6 of chapter 4, he says the following, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication or petition." With thanksgiving. Interesting. Supplicating, petitioning, praying, but with? Don't leave it out. Don't leave that out. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, we're funny in that way, aren't we? When things are tough and or tragic, somehow we want to have everything fit together and make sense. That's why we ask the why questions when things happen, difficult things happen to us in life. And oftentimes there's not a good answer for the why question. Why did my brother get mentally ill? Why did schizophrenia destroy that brilliant mind and drive him to take his own life? I don't know. But I do know there's a peace to be found beyond me having to fit all the puzzle pieces together. But you only find that in the presence of God. So what's that look like? What's that look like, that giving of thanks when in everything and in every circumstance? I think one of them is this: when you get to the tough, real tough places in life, the dark valleys in life, the inexplicable, the confusing, the stuff that is so painful, all you want to do is scream. The stuff where you can't get any relief, seemingly. Even there you can say, God, I'm hurting beyond measure. I am floundering, God. I'm adrift in a sea of pain and a sea of confusion. But I know you are with me. Thank you. I feel alone. Paul writes at one point, I am forsaken by everything. And then there's a great phrase that goes with that. He says, but the Lord stood with me. There are a lot of different ways to give thanks in everything. When all the bills are on your table, And you have no idea how to figure it all out, and maybe you've made the mess on your own because you haven't spent wisely, you haven't managed wisely, who knows? It can be all kinds of reasons. Maybe unexpected things have hit you and you just were not prepared for that size of hit. You know, you can sit there and you need to remember this. There's a life before you got to that point. And who took care of you in that life up to that point? Thank you, God. I can look back and I know right now it's just all broken in front of me. And I have no idea how to fix it. I can't just conjure up the money to make it all work. I have no idea how all this is. But when I look back, Lord, I do know about your faithfulness. Thank you, God. And you're no less faithful here today. This kind of praying. There are ways to be thankful in every circumstance. And then there's this awareness. How much has God shaped you through different things in your life? Susie and I have talked about this. We keep praying that God would shape us and mold us and grow us and lead us to deeper in our faith, reveal to us more of Jesus, reveal to us more about the power of the Holy Spirit. And then God goes to work in ways that we don't expect. But boy, how much has God shaped us in the lousy parts of life? How much has He shaped us there? In the painful places where you get stripped down. You ever notice that? There are these places in life where all the fancy theology, all these fancy discussions we have in our small groups, where we figure it out, are we Calvinists, are we Arminians, are we this, are we that, and we try to get all to the finer points of theology that good Christian men and women have thought about and argued about now for 2,000 years. And then life hits and evil hits, and sometimes the devil himself hits. And we get stripped down by the pain and by the confusion and feel naked and exposed and lost. And then things get much simpler. And you're just like a child says, Mommy, I need you. Dad, I need you. And I know I can count on you. You know what that feels like? See, I can give thanks there. And knowing that you are shaping me, God. You know, sometimes we can sit in church really, really smug and look around. And sometimes we feel so good about ourselves. And I'm not saying you should never feel good about yourself. But boy, sometimes we get just a little too smug on our own self. And it's good if God shapes us. It says it's there where the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Have you ever thought about this? That the devil would love for you and I to be stuck somewhere in life. Somewhere in life. And the Spirit of God continually would want us to grow. And that God liberates us. And He knows how to work it all together for His purposes and for the good of each one of us. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that I don't have to understand it all. Not to use it as a cop-out, but boy, is that an anchor to my soul. Because I know you understand it all. I don't have to be the smartest. I don't have to be the wisest. But I can lean on you, Lord, because you are wise altogether. Thank you. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, verse 8, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Do you notice how he ends it? If there's anything worthy of praise, praise and thanksgiving, they kind of go together. Because when you're thankful, guess what? You end up praising. And when you're praising, you're going to give thanks. They're going to go like hand in hand. They march, but he says you got to put your mind on the right thing. Have you ever thought about this? And this is why I mentioned you, let your prayers invade, but part of us, maybe we don't spend enough time praying. How many of us, we watch CNN or Fox News, whatever is your favorite, and you watch it, those half-hour loops end on end over and over, or you read it on the internet, which I'm guilty. I don't have the TV going, but boy, I can read that news over and over again. And you get caught in that loop. And after a while, you know, you watch it long enough, that's what you start singing. That's what starts spilling out of you. And maybe we need to get to the point where we turn that off and say, I need to spend some time in the presence of God and let the thinker loose and review things and let the Holy Spirit guide me to look at things the way He wants me to see it. Maybe that's what I need, way more. Because I don't see those news cycles making people any better. Do you? And it doesn't matter whether you're politically conservative or politically liberal. I don't see either side making it any better. And we're called to be a people in the midst of all of that who are what? Thankful in every circumstance. Thankful for all that God allows coming in our direction, even when I can't figure it all out together. And so I challenge you, how many of you husband and wives who are here, or lovers who are together, maybe you're hoping to be a husband and wife somewhere down the road, are you praying together, and are you letting Thanksgiving invade that praying together? Because my experience is this, the vast majority, even of men and women in church who are married, do not pray together, much less give God thanks together. Maybe you're still praying that your husband and your wife will make a commitment in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep praying that and remind yourself, God, you are thankful. And at this point, your wife is blessed because you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I was talking to in a question and answer session there in Tanzania in the pastor school, a young man stood up and he said, what would you tell me coming from a Maasai family? And he says, I'm the only Christian in my family. Only one there. And they're making my life miserable. And of course, he says, my dad is really on me because I'm no longer honoring the ancestral religion that they're following. And in fact, my dad has pronounced a curse on me. Because we know from the book of Proverbs that the curses don't have wings if there's no good reason for them. But of course, if you grow up in a world of spirits and then cursing, that rattles you down deeply. And you know, those are the kind of things where you pray really fast and say, Holy Spirit, you need to just give me some answer here for this young man. And I said, aren't you glad that God has invaded your family through you? Let's give God thanks for that. He has put you there. He has let you see the light of Jesus. He has saved you. And if your family has any chance of getting saved, maybe you're it. God has put you there. See, I can look at it and say, oh, woe is me, all my family, they're not Christians. All my family, they're ungodly heathens and all of that thing. I think when you get your thinker going, you look at it altogether different. God, you have poured your light into me. And you have placed me somewhere where that light is really, really important. Where that light counts. Where that light is needed. Thank you for putting me there. Thank you. And those of you who find yourself in a circumstance in your own family like that, think like that. I'm trying to just throw as many examples as you as I can where you start thinking, you know what? I can give God thanks in every circumstance. I can. God helps me with that. And here's the bottom line, that the reason I can is because of who God is. The circumstance change. God doesn't. See? We're anchored for eternity. We by the grace of God have got our feet planted on solid ground that's not going to shift under you. The hand of Jesus has grabbed us and it won't let go. The God who can is by my side. And he wants to be by your side. And if you call on the name of Jesus, he already is. And we need to remind ourselves of all of that over and over again. Otherwise, we will get all confused and we'll be overcome with evil instead of overcoming evil with good. We won't be thinking on whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. We won't do it. So that's my challenge for you. Would you start this habit? If you start now and you do it for the rest of the year and get yourself ready for 2018 and says, Lord, help me walk differently in the next year than this one, but start now so you don't have to do the New Year's resolution to go make it work. You are hitting January 1st and your thinker is already moving and going and spitting it out. Don't you think? I think that'd be a great way to start a new year. And that might be the best Christmas present you can give to anyone around you. You being that person out of whose mouth, out of whose pen, out of whose mind, out of whose heart come all these things that are true and honorable and just and pure. You be that person. And you know what? I know that God will help you there. God will support you there. God will strengthen you there. God is with you there. There's things where God says, you're on your own. But for all the things that are on the heart of God, all the things that God says, go do that, I know this much, he's right there with me. I get 100% of his support. And so do you. Here's what he writes since we started in Colossians in the last chapter, the fourth chapter of Colossians in verse 2. Continue what? Steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it. With thanksgiving. The New American Standard Bible reads like this, with an attitude of thanksgiving. So we discovered so far God wants us to be thankful in and for everything. God wants us to be thankful in every circumstances, that prayer and thanksgiving directly connect. In fact, you strengthen your ability to give thanks in prayer and through prayer. And there he does it again. You continually, steadfastly in prayer. He says, never quit praying in a sense, and never stop being watchful in your prayers. And how do you do it? With thanksgiving. Ever thought about this, that thanksgiving makes you a more alert person? That when you are grateful and thankful to God, you see things different, you perceive things different, you notice things different. How many of you this past week came home out of a day and boy, you could nothing but gripe and groan about the day? Have you had a day like that this past week? Maybe you had 6 out of 7. Maybe it's 7 out of 7 and you're just faking it right now. Maybe. I think God wants to change that in you and me. Don't you? Because I already gave you a challenge for the rest of the year. Maybe it's a challenge just for this coming week. Would you start noticing the little kindnesses that come your way? The little blessings? But seem little, maybe to us, that ought to cause us to give thanks. Today is National Toilet Day. It really is, literally. Now think with me for a second. How often do we give God thanks for a toilet? Huh? Hardly ever. But boy, when it ain't working, when it ain't working, it ain't no good. And if you come with us on the next mission trip somewhere far out in the bush or somewhere, you're going to be very, very grateful for a toilet. How many of you ever gone camping and they just had the pit toilet there? You know, and... You know, you hate to open the lid on that thing, don't you? You do, because I think there's monsters down there. And how many of us, we've gone to one of them toilets and we just got out and we just complained because of the flies, the monsters, the smell, and everything else that combined, we just groped and complained. And then until you find yourself in a place where that's a deluxe toilet, where that keeps people from spreading disease, just having that kind of toilet. We need to learn to give thanks for the little stuff, for ordinary things that actually are huge blessings. Maybe this week when you go somewhere, you open your wallet and you got some money in there to go pay for whatever you got on the counter that you're getting ready to pay for. Maybe you need to just say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for supplying, for doing exactly what you promised, taking care of my needs. Thank you, God. Maybe this coming week you'll have some kind person come alongside you, help you in some kind of way, paint a smile on your face for some kind of reason. Thank you, God, for that person coming my way and for what they did. If I read my Bible correctly, the letter of James tells us that every last little good thing comes from the Father of lights. It's connected to Him, and we need to get good at it. And what if more people would start noticing things like that and lift up their voice to God in thanks? What difference would that make? I think it would make a huge difference. At the same time, pray for us also that God may open a door to us for the Word, that's the Word of God, to declare the mystery of who?
Christ.
On account of which I am in prison, that I might make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders. Make the best use of the time the outsiders are as people who do not yet know Jesus. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. And you get equipped for that by being steadfast in prayer, and in that prayer being watchful with thanksgiving. That's how your mouth gets prepared to interact correctly with the world around you. Don't miss that. People will not go follow the Lord Jesus simply because we can rehash and have our own big political opinion, but they will pay attention if they see your and my life and my mouth and my heart transformed. And did you notice how he cares there? He could be all gloomy in that prison cell. He could be concerned about the upcoming court date. He could be concerned about that his public defender is not doing his job, and he could have all these prayer requests for that. And he says, no, pray for me that in this prison cell, and as I interact with people here, with the guards and other prisoners, that I would know how to be the person that Jesus would want me to be. You pray for that. Thank you for praying that for me. He leaves out all the other stuff that we might call the prayer chain for and says, you know, have the judge give me favor, and they might have been all kinds of people praying all that stuff, but it's not his request. And you just have to kind of wonder a little bit, do you? What causes a person to be on such a different wavelength? And then I say, Lord, make me a person that's on a different wavelength like that. And I pray you would ask the same. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you. I thank you for these reminders about Thanksgiving, even just for me personally. So much to be thankful for. We thank you, first of all, for the Lord Jesus, this mystery of Jesus that Paul writes about to the Colossians, this unending wonder that engulfs us when we look at you, when we look at Jesus. Kind beyond measure. Hopeful for the most depraved sinner. Gracious and forgiving towards his enemies. Healing those who hurt him. Oh, to be like him. So now would you lay hold of each heart that you've gathered in this room today? My prayer is this, that every person here would make a commitment, first of all, to you, Lord Jesus. So if there's somebody here, oh God, that says, I don't know where I stand with God, but I want to be right with him. Would you have right now stirred that person and be willing to talk with me before they leave here today? I pray, Lord, if there's somebody here and that says, I have Jesus in my past, but Jesus is not in my present. And I need to commit it in the present, my life, back to him. Would you help him or her to do that? I pray for us as a church, you called us to be a community of faith, a community, the body of Christ. Would you help us to transform our prayer life? Would you help us to abound in thanksgiving in our small groups, in our ministries, continually thanking, continually praising you? I pray for anyone who is here, any brother and sister in Christ that has been down in the dumps or maybe hurting so much, and so often we retreat in our hurt and no one else knows how deeply we hurt. Oh Lord, how much have I benefited from other believers who come alongside me? But sometimes I hid it so well that they didn't even know. Would you help anyone who's hiding let their guard down today so that they can be comforted, they can be prayed with and for here? Help us, Lord, give us eyes this week to see the small things that deserve praise and thanks. In Jesus' name. Amen.